Hello and welcome to An Ink We Trust, Tattoo and Art Culture in San Fernando Valley, bringing you the latest in the tattoo scene. I am your host, Anthony Sanchez. Today we're going to talk to Hector Santos from Needle Pushers in Balboa Park. Thank you for coming by the studio.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about podcasts. What podcasts are you listening to?
The top three right now that I'm listening to is The Usual. I mean, a lot of people listen to it. It's just Joe Rogan, Experience, Joey Diaz, The Church of What's Happening Now, and what's it called? The other one is between Tom Segura and his wife, Christina Pazinski, and Your Mom's House, and if it's not that one, it's Fighter and the Kid with Brandon Schaub and Brian Callen. It's just a lot of comedy stuff. I like listening to a lot of like life stories of what's going on in people's... I mean, I do that already, like while I'm tattooing. I'm kind of like a cheap therapist, I guess. Like people come at me and just tell me random stories, or they're kind of intrigued of like what a life in a tattooer's day is or something like that, you know? And I let them know, you know, it's not all like, not every like tattooer is like, hey, I made this much money, I'm gonna go out to the bar and blow it off and then start all over again at zero tomorrow. Some of us are just like, you know, Renny, like we're just dads or moms. We're just doing, you know, we're glorified plumbers, I mean, in a way, from what I've heard.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's the guy that does my tattoos. He's an awesome dude. So, you know, I'm just here, man, just doing my thing every day, trying to keep balance in my life, just working out, you know, trying to keep a steady balance on family life, tattooing life, and whatever, you know, just trying to be happy all around. That's all it is.
You've mentioned before how Needle Pushers is like just one of those places where lots of walk-ins, right?
Yeah, man. We've been there about almost, I think, 20 years. I think the first time I ever heard about Needle Pushers, I must have been in ninth grade back in like 2000, I think, 2000. And one of my buddies had just gotten a tattoo, and he's like, yeah, come get tattooed over here. My friend's shop, he just opened up. And he had this whole like back, like the top of his back, he got like in graffiti writing like his last name, and I was like, whoa, like that was kind of like the first time I ever saw someone. I'm like, oh, kids in high school get tattoos already, huh? I've always seen tattoos since I was like 12, but you know, they were like hood tattoos and like gangster dudes that are doing it in the garage and stuff like that. So
yeah, I was gonna say yeah, probably a garage thing.
Definitely a garage
or
thing.
Private
from like
studio, I've been told.
Yeah, yeah, private studio. You know, so you could always come and get a little some right here, with pull out some beers and stuff. You know,
is that how you started then? Did you start?
No, actually, I have what's it called? I started back in, I think I must have been 20, and I had just gotten off of a really bad relationship, and I was really bummed out about it. I remember I was like, for a week straight, one of my buddies had me at his house. He had just gotten like a Ninja Turtles DVD like set, and he's like, here, dude, like you can watch all these Ninja Turtle DVDs, and I'm gonna go to work. I was super bummed out, and I was just drinking and just watching Ninja Turtles DVDs and just drawing. And then his older brother had just came back from the Navy, and he's just talking about, he's like, hey, man, you should tattoo me. I always see you drawing all the time. And I'm all like, I had already had like one or two small tattoos at that point. And I'm all like, I never really thought about tattooing, you know, like as me doing one. I knew I always wanted to get tattooed, but me as a like wanting to do tattoos was never like, had never crossed my mind. And at that point, I was still an immigrant, so I would still do like random jobs. I'd be like waiting at Home Depot, and I'm just kind of like, it's got to be a way for me to figure this thing out, like how to get more money. But yeah, I did that tattoo. I did a really, really crappy tattoo on my friend's older brother. He was just excited to get tattooed, so he didn't care. He was just like, yeah, let's do it. And he's like, yeah, and I'm all, and I looked at it, and I was all like, I don't know what I'm doing. Maybe I should like get an apprenticeship or something, because I had talked to like certain, like on the first few times I went to get tattooed, I was like, how did you get into this? I think just that's a lot of the people like ask about it, you know, and they would say apprenticeships, and I was like, okay. So I went around and I had painted a few things. I lived down in Orange County before I started tattooing. So my one of the guys that lived next to me in Orange County, he was an apprentice and just started tattooing, but he taught me how to watercolor somewhat. He was kind of like a little crackhead dude too.
We had one of those in my neighborhood in West Covina.
Yeah,
he would always walk around the street.
Yeah,
and he would say stuff like, "You either sketch or you smoke sketch," and we made fun of it all the time because we were like, "What does that mean?"
Right,
like, it's just a crackhead thing.
Yeah,
right?
Just a little like dude. He would tell me like random little things. Like, he's like, "Well, do you mind if I smoke? Because I care if you die." And I was like, "That's okay." Like,
yeah, it's such a crackhead thing.
I don't understand.
Those two sentences don't go together.
Yeah, I'm like, that's I don't know. Is that a backhand? I don't know. Like, but anyways, he was a real nice dude, and he taught me how to paint, and like, kind of taught me a lot of like, I guess what they say, traditional like tattoos and stuff like that. And I always found them really cool, even though like I grew up in Panama City and all I knew was like black and gray like gangster tattoos and stuff. But I also like skated and I did a lot of like, you know, like, I guess what they would say, like white boy stuff and stuff like that. Cause it was either like you hang out with a bunch of gangsters or you like hung out with a bunch of skater kids. Skating wasn't the cool thing to do back then.
Okay.
But I mean, I wasn't like trying to fight in my neighborhood and all the time. I was just trying to have a good time, you know? But yeah, so like color tattoos, I'd never really seen them until I saw them in like certain music videos or like, some skate videos, some skaters had like one or two tattoos that they were color. So, but yeah, it was kind of intriguing to me. So painting, and I've always drew and stuff like that. So that was pretty cool.
So you've been drawing since you were a little kid?
Yeah, like my first few things that I remember was like, I had a little buddy because I grew up in Huntington Park as well before I came to the Valley.
I feel like we need to like get a chronological of all
these. I know, right? I'm bouncing around, so I'm not bad, dude.
Well, you mentioned that you were up since 2 a.m. or whatever. So
I was tattooing last night pretty late.
We're like slumber party style right now. Okay.
When I grew up in Huntington Park for a little bit when I came from Peru.
So you're Peruvian?
I'm Peruvian. Okay. Yeah, I came to the States when I was 2 years old. Border hopped it, and I was just in Huntington Park with my parents. My parents worked full-time, day and night. So, what's it called? When I was younger, like, I just, the first time I remember drawing was with my buddy. He was a year older, so he was going to school. And I was like, well, I don't have my buddy anymore. I asked him, like, what should I do? He's like, oh, you should draw a little, like, army-like scenes on paper. And he taught me how to do, like, an army dude out of like stick figures and stuff like that. He taught me how to draw a tank. So then like I just sit there and draw the whole time. And by the time he'd get home, like I'd have papers filled of like little drawings and stuff like that. His older brother had Lowrider Art magazine. So that's how I got into like cars and drawing stuff. So like the first things I started drawing was army figures and like Lowrider cars. And that's all I knew for a while because I would just look at him then. Started looking at, I guess at that time, like his older brother started going to raves and like what they call, house party?
Yeah, house party.
House party.
I don't know what you were going
to say. Like, it's like where they have like, oh, party crews.
Party crews.
Yeah, party
crews.
That's
what my baby brother was in. He was in a party crew.
Yeah,
and then
it
became a gang. So.
And started doing like party crew gangs and stuff like that. It was pretty funny. So he would like bring home all these like, they would have these like big like parties called like Narnia and stuff like that. Like everything was about like mushrooms and all that stuff.
Party crews used to kind of compete to have the best house party.
Right.
So you would go to this guy's party crew party and you would go to this. I don't get it. I don't understand why.
Dude, all I remember, I was like about 8 years old at that time.
Okay.
His brother was 15 and he had a little Honda Civic and he would take care of us sometimes. So he would tell us, like, man, I gotta go to this party. Like, there's gonna be girls and stuff.
That's probably why people were going.
Exactly. So he'd be like, we gotta go, man. I don't care. Like, you're coming, but you guys are sleeping in the car. So he'd like take us, he'd hang out, and like, me and his younger brother, we would just be in the back of the car, just sitting there, like, really little creeps and blankets, and just kind of like, what's going on? Why did he bring us out here, you know? But yeah, that's like the earliest recollection I have of me like drawing anything. So it was, then later on, I started drawing comic books and like I just started like mimicking whatever I saw that I draw, like that I could draw. And then just basically that's how me getting into all that was.
Do you sell any of your drawings, paintings?
Do have paintings or what they call in tattooing, flash and stuff like that.
Flash art.
Yeah, flash art. And I do that. I try to get better at it, but before I was able to pump them out pretty quick. Now it takes me a little bit longer just because of, I have a lot more going on other than tattooing. Before I just had like tattooing itself. So I was able to do more work, but now I have like two kids and, I got adult life. I got to do adult things. And
how old are your kids?
I have a 7-year-old and a 1.5-year-old.
Oh,
two girls.
1.5. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's rough.
So, man. Yeah. So when they don't get their sleep, well, this one, she's definitely not like her older one. So
yeah,
when she doesn't get her sleep, she gets pretty fussy and she'll let you know that she's over it. Like she's just like, yeah, man, I'm not having a good time right now. You need to do something. You need to keep me entertained or something. So yeah.
So what do you have any favorite TV shows or cartoons growing up then? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles you already brought up.
Back in the VHS days, my family wasn't like I wasn't a rich kid really. And all we really had was like four tapes that I would watch on loop as a kid.
Okay.
It was Bambi, Little Mermaid, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and Splash.
Splash?
Yeah, so yeah. Like I'm into romantic comedy movies. That, rom-coms, cartoons, and...
I remember seeing Splash as a kid in the drive-thru in my station wagon.
Oh, man.
They'd pile us all in the station wagon. Roll it up backwards, turn on the AM radio. And I think the only scene that really I didn't understand as a kid was the mermaid. Like when she first went into the... spoilers, anyone who has never seen it?
Yeah, if we're in 84, 84... No, if we're like in 91 or something like that. Yeah,
yeah when Tom Hanks realizes that she's a mermaid, right? He puts her in the bathtub and her
legs flap out and it's actually her fins.
Yeah.
That must have been weird.
I don't know why.
I just remember the Statue of Liberty part where she walks in naked, and I'm just like, whoa, like, that's intense.
So, you had four tapes. Yeah, a lot of the tapes that we had, my grandma would record stuff from HBO or whatever.
Oh, no.
So, and I was just talking to my brother a couple weeks ago because, like, there's a lot of movies in our rotation that I don't know why we watch them. Do you know what I mean? I think we did because of, like you said, we only had a few tapes.
Tapes that also worked as garages for like your little matchbox cars. So if you had, we would use them as garage or like little parts of town. We'd like use them as, I mean, when I had my brother when he was older, like that's what we would do. We'd play cars and build like little cities out of it and stuff. So that's how we kept each other like entertained, I guess.
We used to go in the backyard and dig little tracks.
Yeah.
For
I remember
our Hot
that
Wheels
too.
And
yep.
stuff. And
yeah. I remember doing that and messing up my friend's dad's lawn. You get so mad. That was bad. That was a bad choice.
We also used to, I don't know if I was a little older, we would take apart our G.I. Joes and rebuild them into other G.I. Joes.
Oh man, we'd have lawn wars. He'd start on one side of the lawn, I'd start on the other with like 10 G.I. Joes each, and then we'd kind of like clash in the middle. And like, I remember at the ice cream truck, you could buy those little G.I. Joes with the parachutes.
Yeah, the parachute guys.
Yeah, so you just throw them at each other and see like just land and do little missions and stuff.
Yeah, and we didn't care if we would mix everything too. We would have like our Star Wars with our G.I. Joe,
with
our super friend Justice League characters.
That and what's it called? The Transformers when they had like full on metal Transformers.
Yeah, those were nice.
So, yeah, if you get chucked and you get hit with those things hurt.
I do remember you hit with
those. Yeah,
those
things hurt. Yeah.
So do you, I saw that in your shop, I'm like really sloppy on mic today. I saw that in your shop you had like a lot of Simpsons stuff. So was that really influential for you?
Dude, yeah, that show was crazy. Dude, I think from fourth to like senior year of high school, Simpsons was it for me. Like I remember I would have to catch the bus right on time before, like, I think 5:30, I think, was the first, like, to catch, like, a fresh new episode. So I would just always be on it and try to get there to watch those episodes. I was just a big fan of The Simpsons just because of all, like, it was kind of that kind. It was, like, fart jokes and stuff like that. I love those, man.
I think South Park outdoes South
Park came out. That was just game changer right there. That just, I'm glad I was there for South Park and Family Guy.
Family Guy.
Family Guy's another one too, man. And or what's it, Futurama?
Right. Yeah.
Dude, yeah.
Futurama holds up.
Oh, still, yeah, very much.
I mean, definitely the first, supposedly the first 10 seasons of Simpsons is like the golden age.
Those were it.
But
the Halloween ones, all the...
Yeah, I love Treehouse of Horrors.
Treehouse of Horrors and all that stuff. Yeah, I love doing all that Simpsons stuff. It's fun to me. I actually do little twists on them. I do like Warp Simpsons. I do like tattooed like Simpsons and all that stuff like that.
Yeah.
With like a traditional look to it and stuff like that. It's always fun, you know. But I mean,
good to throw out there for people if they're into Simpsons.
Yeah, dude, if you're ever down
to
get any Simpsons tattoos, that's what everyone looks at. The first thing they look at my wall, like, oh man, you like Simpsons?
Do you have a favorite character in The Simpsons?
Honestly, it would have to be probably, I think it would probably have to be like Sideshow Bob. He's just a silly dude. Like, he's just such a dry humor, but he just got burned on by freaking Krusty.
Yeah,
just always just treating him like dirt, dude.
Kelsey Grammer's a good sport to keep that up too, right?
Kelsey Grammer,
of Bob too. Do you have a favorite way that Bob tried to murder Bart?
Let's see. No, one is probably like, I think one episode I remember the most is when he tried to marry his his aunt.
Yeah.
That one was a good one because, like, he's like, oh, he maybe turned a new leaf. Like, that's it. But he's just the whole time just plotting away.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, Sideshow Bob and Homer, I think, where Homer was just all about, like, what my adult life is. And he's just such a, like... He didn't care, you know, he's just kind of like, I gotta go to work, but I love donuts, or he just go to Moe's and stuff like that, you know, just...
Have you been over here to Universal for the Simpsons?
Oh, dude,
Simpsons?
I'm there, like, I'm weekly, like, some people I have, a pass, so I'm just always there taking my daughter. You'll see me there every, like, Tuesday on my days off, usually.
Do you like the Duff beer?
Oh, the Duff beer? I haven't tasted it, actually.
You haven't?
No, I've been inside the Quickie Mart and stuff like that.
Okay.
I'm just so into that. I'm like, I love that. And it was kind of a love-hate thing because when they turned that whole little area into the Springfield area, I also love Back to the Future.
Oh, that used to be the Back to the Future area?
Yeah. So it used to be all Back to the Future right there. They used to have like, I just remember them, that Back to the Future ride.
I mean, we went, I think when I was in sixth grade, we went there for a field trip. This is apparently back when they used to have budgets for these things. So I remember the tour, and I do remember going on the Back to the Future ride, but I don't remember it being a Back to the Future area. So maybe it was after.
Yeah, no, that whole area. No, they did like where the Quickie Mart was. They had the like where they sold the Doc Brown's Chicken Shack or something like that. Or I'm probably messing it up right now with Moe's Tavern, where they have, next to it, they have the Clunkin' Chicken or whatever.
Okay.
So that was pretty cool. But, yeah, man, even, like, down when you go down at the Universal, like, part where the Mummy of the Ride is, that was an awesome ride. That's an awesome
ride.
That's
one of my favorite rides. Yeah. Every time I take somebody there, I'm like, they're like, I don't like roller coasters. I was like, no, you'll like this one.
You gotta,
You'll like this one.
But that was E.T., dude. Like,
that was E.T.?
I used to love like being on the bike and you'd see like the whole city. Then you pass by the baseball stadium. That was rad. You know?
I miss it was a very like, you know, not a heavy memory, but the Jaws part of the movie
Jaws?
Tour, right? It's still, the stuff is still there from the, you know, when you do the movie tour. When you do the back lot, there, I guess like the lake is still there to kind of recreate the Jaws thing, but the Jaws,
they still have the Bruce Jaws, the one that they use in the movie that pops up. Yeah. But they don't have the bridge. They don't have the where they filmed the Creature of the Black Lagoon. Yeah, they've switched a lot of things, but then also the lot burned down a few years back. I don't know if you know or remember that.
Maybe some of it
burned down.
I remember that they lost a lot of master tapes, but then maybe that was Warner Brothers, but I don't remember. I didn't know that.
That's probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in high school...
really bad at being experts today.
I know, right? Hey, we're going to get fact-check comments on these, like, actually.
Yeah.
But hey, whatever, man.
Yeah, don't at me, right?
Don't at me, right? It's like...
So how did you... You kind of mentioned how you got into tattoo, but then you...
Oh, yeah.
You did stuff at Clandestine, or how did that work?
After tattooing, I kind of went full circle, actually, because I tattooed, and then for a while, like, I went on tour with my friends as a tattooer, and they were, like, playing shows around the States. Then I came back here, and I still tattooed for a while. I had a buddy who had opened up a shop in Hawaii. I was supposed to go with him, but then I bailed. And then I just stayed here, tattooed for a while, and then for a while, I worked also in Main Street, Venice, and then I decided to have my own, like, I've had my own studio, I've tattooed out of my house. I've done every kind of style of tattooing, and what works for me best is working at a walk-in shop where I just get to, like, still be, like, to me, it just feels like, you know, when you're in your elective class in high school. I just felt like I never left elective class I'm still like an adult, like in an elective class. So some people call it early retirement because you're still loving what you do, you know? So it's still pretty awesome. I love tattooing. I've had my own shop. I had my own like tattoo barber shop. That was fun, but it was too daunting for me since I'm not like, I'm more street smart than book smart. So the fact that I had to do, like, all this adult, like, paperwork stuff kind of burned me out.
What was some of the stuff in case people are, like, you know? Because I think that the reason why I like this part of your story is you get a lot of people that you know, oh, I'm going to do this, but they don't realize
they never take that jump.
All the stuff, though. You're going to make that leap. You better be passionate about it.
Right.
Because
yeah, you got to have a passion. Yeah, definitely. You got to be passionate. And what I realized about myself is that I like to have fun with what I do. And the second, like, I remember when I was, I had just started tattooing. I was like, as soon as this gets boring, I'm out of here. Like, you know, and I think that's what I felt at, when I owned my own business, because my father had owned his own business. So I kind of had an idea, you know,
what did your father do?
My dad was a jeweler. So he sold jewelry here in the Valley. Well, in Huntington Park, like I said, he owned his own jewelry store, and then the LA riots happened, so they like broke into his jewelry store.
That's a bummer.
Looted everything, and my dad's like, "We gotta get out of here."
I didn't realize the riots went that way.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, so it was right there in Huntington Park on Pacific. Okay. So they just destroyed his place, took his like safe, opened it up, just looted all his jewelry. My dad was out.
I remember, you know, we lived in Baldwin Park, and we didn't even know, like, we were like, Baldwin Park's like 15 miles away or not.
Right.
It was so scary at the time that we were
crazy.
Serious is it going to get? Because obviously we were upset, and I don't know if I don't know when I need to update people about what happened in the LA riots.
Dude, it was crazy. Like, what happened, well, in my area, we would go to this donut shop, and that's where we would all play, like, video arcade. Back in the day, you'd go to the donut shop, and there was a video store where you would, like, where they would have arcades and stuff.
Which
and
games did they have?
They had, what's it called, that ninja something? Like
Ninja Gaiden?
I think it was Ninja Gaiden and Street Fighter.
Mm-hmm. Fighter 2, right?
Yeah, Street Fighter 2. So you would have those two games for sure almost everywhere. And, I think that's the ones that we were playing, but so at that time, like it was kind of hectic just to walk down the street because everyone was just all crazy, like stealing everything, and we would see the helicopters in the news. We'd walk outside, and it's the same helicopters just like hovering right there. We're like, hey, that's El Gallo Hero right there. Like, what the heck? Like, I live like right down the block from that. And my dad's store was like literally on the other side of that plaza. And yeah, my dad's like, dude, that's my store. He saw his own store go down in flames and just watch everyone break through his stuff and just take it all like in the news. And that's when my dad's like, hey, man, this is bad. Like, I gotta get out of here. And one of my uncles that lived out here at the time, he's like, well, you should move out here. It's in the valley, San Fernando. So I think it must have been like 94, I think, when I 93, 94. And my dad decided to start again over here. And he started out in Panama City. And what's it called? He opened up a store right there on Nordoff and Van Nuys at that plaza. And what he decided to do was he'd bring LA to the valley because it was such a long journey for people, especially the Hispanic community. They couldn't just up, like, not everybody had a car and, you know, could do that drive to downtown LA, fix their necklace or something. So he had a buddy in downtown LA that knew how to solder and do that type of thing. So he'd have, like, he's like, oh, what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring, what's it called, the downtown jewelry district to the valley, sell everything at wholesale, and also solder and weld, fix watches, do all that stuff at a good price. So that's how he made his living, and he would have me there. I've been inside his, like, even when we were living in Huntington Park, like, I was at his store right after school, like, opening and closing, cleaning windows. I've always been there, you know?
So that's kind of, like, something you already have, right, like, you know, happening.
He taught me, like, really well, like, business, kind of have, like, some business sense and be really good and cordial with people and how to talk to people, because he would kind of make it an incentive. He's like, hey, if you sell, like, this necklace, I'll give you this much amount of money. So it kind of gave me an incentive to be like, oh, okay, I got to hustle, you know? Like, he taught me that, how to make, because my dad's been hustling. Like, he didn't grow up with, he grew up in the poor side of Peru. So him and his grandfather would go sell gum at the football stadiums while my grandma worked at a sewing, like, factory. Okay. Is what I was told. That's how my dad, you know, started off when he was young. So yeah, so he's always been hustling. So he always tried to figure out a way to make money with whatever he had, whatever means he had at that time. So yeah, that's how it started. And basically, like, when I opened up my shop, same thing, man. It was just like, I was real young. I must have been like 24, I think.
Yeah.
I was 24. It was a big jump. It was scary. But I figured out, like, after like 3 years of owning it, I think it was. It was 3 good years. I made a lot of money, but it also, like, I didn't really have well balanced, like, my life as a father. At that time, I had just become, like, my mom says my first daughter was kind of like an angel, like, in disguise. As in, like, she gave me that drive to build my own, like, shop, own it, and, you know, like, push myself to that next level to really, like, make something of myself, which I was always grateful for. And, you know, I was luckily able to, I had a lot of loyal clients and a lot of people who were always there for me to, like, you know, they were like, oh, I want to get a tattoo. And, like, a lot of my friends that skated, a lot of my friends in the music scene, like, they were always coming through, and I was never shorthanded with, like, people that wanted to get tattooed by me. So it was cool.
Were you a good skater?
I wasn't the worst, but, like, you know, I just kept up to par, whatever, you know. I have a bunch of other friends that are just amazing. They're pros and amateurs now, so that's really awesome to see them. And then I also have a friend who's like top 50 gamer in the world right now for
video gamer.
Yeah, yeah, for like Street Fighter 2 Alpha.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Shout out to my boy Commander Jesse.
Nice. Yeah, I don't play. I'm really bad at fighter games, but Dragon Ball FighterZ, I play that on my own, but it, like, local.
Yeah.
I was like, hey,
not on the pro light. Yeah, dude. No,
I did the arcade once, and I got slaughtered. I was like, nope.
Oh man, no, I had this. Like, I must have been, I think I was 15. I messed up this wrist, so I don't really play video games as much because, like, it tends to, like, tighten up from all the button moving and all that.
Like with the joystick.
Yeah, with the joystick. Like, if I go play an arcade, I can only play for so long, or like, I'll play like what's it called? I don't know if you ever played Area 51.
Yeah, that's super old school though. That's yeah, like almost 8-bit, right?
No, it's not even 8-bit. It's just maybe, it's an arcade like, but they have it since it's a shooter one. But even that
will
mess my wrist up or what other like Street
what
Fighter
about Dance
or Mortal
Dance Revolution
Kombat.
Though.
Dude, that actually could be something. I tried it a couple of times. It's not the best at it, but maybe if I give it a try. I've always been a big, like, now I'm kind of, like, now that my daughter's a little bit older and more into, like, video games, I'm trying to get her, I'm trying to find the Guitar Hero right now.
I was just going to mention, because I played a Guitar Hero with my nephew when it first came out. And he was amazing at it. And he's very, or at least at the time, he was very competitive. He was like, oh, play Guitar Hero with me. And I just thought it was going to be like a little like, and he like, I was like, I'm
same.
Done.
I'm like, hey man, like the best I could do is medium and just strum down. Like I was the worst at it.
And I knew how I haven't kept practicing guitar, but like
you would think it'd be like that, but it's not at all. It's just, it goes kind of by like feeling the buttons and stuff. Just, muscle memory and stuff like that. I had a buddy who had gotten that game, and he was just all on, like, he was on expert level, like, flailing the guitar around. Like, he was just, like, a full-on dude about it. And then I have, like, a couple other friends who work at EA Sports and stuff at that time. So they were, like, trying to, you know, they were always, like, gamers. And when I was skating a lot, I lost a couple of friends to World of Warcraft.
Yeah. That's been that whole Blizzard thing with, I don't know if you, like Hong Kong and stuff, if you've been following that at all.
No, what?
Yeah,
no.
So, you know, there's a Hong Kong protest right now. They're trying to fight, Chinese government has a lot of restrictions and a lot of propaganda.
Oh, no way.
I'm not an expert, so I'm going to totally ruin this. But basically, because Hong Kong was a kind of thing with Britain for the longest, mm-hmm. they kind of turned over to China, but they still have Hong Kong is very westernized still, so they kind of still have a democracy kind of inclination.
Oh.
The real thing started with somebody got extradited, and so there was just, it kind of finally was kind of the beginning of a breaking point of where China was being very authoritarian about how they could treat people in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
So right now the protests have reached the level where like police are, you know, like they were using like the Hong Kong University as kind of, the students were using it as like a place to kind of create a safe place to combat the Hong Kong police.
Hmm.
And it was down to like them using lasers. There's like a face recognition thing where the Chinese keep track of who's doing what. So they started wearing masks and
whoa.
I didn't know
it got pretty nuts.
So because of that whole fiasco, there was somebody at Blizzard or NBA, like suddenly it started getting involved in saying like, we're with Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm.
And then they made people retract it because there's so much money coming from Chinese people now playing World of Warcraft.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's NBA teams that go there that LeBron got into it. And so people are
I heard there was some kind of stuff with LeBron doing like all that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's where it comes from. I
heard a lot of people dropped out of World of Warcraft because of that.
No
But
way.
Not enough, because there's people that are just been playing it for 10 years.
Dude, they're
so
addicted to those things. Like I said, we'd go over and we'd watch a bunch of, like, we're all movie nerds and skate nerds, you know, like. So we go over at his house. His house was like the meeting spot, you know. That was like the check-in, like basically like how Facebook used to have a check-in. Also, like we would all like hang out right there, and you know, if you see skateboards, we're out at his house, and we'd all either go watch movies or we'd go skate somewhere. So he'd be like, "Yeah, man, let's just go watch a movie. Let's go watch a skate video." Okay, all of us, all his friends. We're all watching skate video. He's in his room still, like, at World of Warcraft, just in there playing it. We're all, dude, like, we just spent the whole day watching skate videos and skating. You weren't part of that at all, but we're at his house.
Yeah.
You know, he was a dude that we'd always hang out at his house.
I have a friend whose his boyfriend is pretty much, it'll be like, it's at this point where we're just like, oh, where is he? Oh, he's playing World of Warcraft. We're like, all right. You know.
Yeah, you kind of just like, hey, man, that's what you want to do, you know? Like, we just kind of...
I got into Final Fantasy 14. That's my MMO. I played World of Warcraft for like a couple months, and I just, it was too, I think because it's so, like, there's such a steeped community now that are like so high level, and they know how to do speed runs through dungeons. So it was really hard for me to get into,
to keep up,
to do the new, to, as a new person, to kind of like gear up and do all that. But versus Final Fantasy 14's like, it's more Japanese. They're more like, they kind of ease you into the MMO.
Mm-hmm.
So like, as you go through, so you don't have to deal with the same type of like, you're ruining my game, noob. You know, you still get those people, but it was like,
That reminds me of like my brother with Call of Duty or like Star Wars, Shadows of the Empire stuff, like Xbox stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So he does all that. Like, yes, I was just watching him play like some kind of new Call of Duty or something, but that's crazy too. Like, I was never really good at those kind of games. I just kind of watch everybody play, or like Resident Evil. I'd be too scared of, like, I'm like,
I remember my brothers playing that. Yeah. And I used to scare
and I was just like,
out of me.
Yeah, just like, I was gonna.
I cursed.
I don't know, dude. There's this fun part that always creeped me out where like you're like walking down the hallway and then like the dogs break through the window. Even though we all knew that was coming.
It was always the one in the back of the wall that kind of...
Yeah, it's just the fact that those dogs were like zombie dogs and just like attacking you. And we're all just like screaming in the living room, just like, ah.
Did you like the movies?
The movies? I think I saw one and two and I was done with that.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah.
I didn't see I think it was the last one, the apocalypse one. But I followed it all the way. I think I just like Mila Jovovich, whatever her name is. I think she's a dope action hero.
Oh, okay. Actress. No, I just... From what I like, I remember watching one and two because that's the only Resident Evils that my friends would play. But other than that, I didn't really keep up. I like, you know, I like more like 80s, like Evil Dead, Army of Darkness, stuff like that. Like just cheesy, creepy movies, Chucky. I don't know what other one.
You should have
Halloween, of course.
American Horror Story just did their, you're probably aware of the show, American Horror Story?
Yeah, I know the show.
The one this season, 1984.
Really?
It was kind of like all those tropes. All
No.
Kind of smooshed them all together.
Man.
It was actually okay.
Yeah.
It's just the show in general just gets so crazy because at first it feels like they have a story and then it just feels like they stayed up all night and did coke and finished the episode. So you get to the end and you're like,
what just happened? Yeah.
That made no sense.
Oh, man. There's so much good stuff out there. Like, it kind of bums me out because I finally have my own Netflix account for a while. I'm like, yeah, I'm paying. I'm,
slow cat. Yeah,
that's like, dude, yeah. I don't have to take
anybody's. If we had sound effects, we'd do like,
yeah. I don't have to take anybody's, like, you know, password. I'm like, yeah, I can do it now. But now Amazon Prime, which I've had forever.
They have
like,
a lot of good stuff on there.
They have such good stuff on Amazon Prime.
They actually have the kind of catalog that Netflix used to have, where they'd have a lot of, but the only problem with Amazon, and I'm pretty sure they've heard this over and over again, and they know it, and you know, Bezos doesn't care about us, but
yeah.
the UI is terrible.
The UI, you know, what
like
is that
the interface, like the face, like how you find
stuff.
You
select, you have to.
It's like digging the record crate.
Yeah,
you just
gotta
keep going through.
Keep digging through, and like the way top picks and stuff like that. Recently, yeah, I think it's tough, for sure.
But I found a lot of great short films. Like I guess they have a lot of film festival stuff in there.
Oh really?
So I'm just like, instead of, you know, having to go to.
There's so much stuff to choose. I get anxiety, so I just always stick to the same things.
And now with Disney Plus.
Oh, man, Disney Plus was a game changer right there. My buddy just got it. And, man, they have so much. They have Gold there. They have Darkwing Duck. They have all those, like, classic, like, TV shows that they have old, like, 90s movies, like, Heavyweights and stuff like that.
My brother's showing his daughter Gargoyles.
Yeah. Oh, I saw that, dude. I was like, oh man. Channel 9. Yeah,
yeah.
Dude.
DuckTales, Chippendale, Chippendale Rescue Rangers.
Rescue Rangers, all that
stuff. What else did I
miss?
There was Gummy Bears, but that was actually the beginning of it, if I remember.
Gummy Bears?
I think that was called.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I think it was already past that. And Darkwing Duck and all the Disney Channel stuff. I don't know about that though.
Dude,
the originals, like the Hannah Montana stuff.
Oh, that I don't. I knew some of it, but my brother probably knows. That's more of his time. So I was like, okay, I can see that stuff. But, dude, I just remember those cartoons were essential because those are the ones that led to, like, now it's getting more of, like, then after that, those cartoons were done. You go to, like, Channel 5, and then after Channel 5, you go to Channel 11 to watch, like, The Simpsons, Married with Children, all that other stuff. Like, it gets pretty, like, older.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
No, this gentleman yesterday was like, you remember Married with Children? I was like, yeah.
Yeah, who can't forget Al Bundy, man?
Pretty much everyone from that has done really good, though.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Katie Sagal.
Done other great projects. Dude. They've Which is weird because at the time it was seen as such a trashy, like they were like, these people are trashy. And it turned out that they were like, you know, people forget they were actors.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, really that's just an act. That's what made them good actors because that's how they thought about them.
I actually heard a really good, going back to the podcast, interview with Christina Applegate on RuPaul's podcast.
Oh, and I didn't even know RuPaul had one.
It's called What's the Tea? I always love talking to straight people, realizing that everything in the gay culture is kind of like we assume
that we're interacting with each other. Yeah, yeah,
same thing with like Joe Rogan and MMA stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not on top of that. Yeah. I don't know what's going on. But
I honestly until like I started listening, like I always like I knew about K2 and all that stuff before it became like UFC, but I didn't know too much about it. I would always watch like a lot of my friends that were into heavy, like, hardcore, like, punk music and stuff like that, they would watch these videos of these, like, it was just fights, like, ring fights of, like, unmatched different weight classes. That's what K2 was because it was in Japan and stuff like that. So they didn't regulate it as much as UFC. UFC has, like, classes of, like, weight classes and stuff like that, as K2 is just, like, watch Butterbean. I don't know if you know who Butterbean is.
He's like, you could tell me.
500-pound huge man versus a small little dude, you know?
So this is like a WWF, WWE.
Yeah.
But like the real, like they're really.
That's real, yeah.
It's funny because yesterday I was telling my husband, I was like, I remember when I first went to a WWF taping and it just ruined the whole thing for me.
For real?
I guess we knew it was fake, but I didn't know it was that fake. Now in hindsight, I think it was because it was like a taping, because it was like they did a fight and then we just sat there and did nothing for a while, and then they did a fight and it just really like it was like this sucks.
I went to Raw's War at the Staples Center when I was little. I think it was my buddy told me, he's like, dude, you have to join the Boy Scouts Club. You can go to free Dodger games. Free Staples Center games. And so we're like, yeah, we're like, yeah, man, free stuff. We're in it, you know? We couldn't afford to do that on our own. So we just whatever we could do to get free ins, that was us. So, I just remember going to Staples Center and saw Roswell because I was a big, like, WWF nerd when I was little. So I used to love all that stuff, too. That stuff would get me all into it. But, yeah.
So tell me again more about K2, though. Like that. So the, are they just kind of... beating each other
and like
pulpit?
Dream. It was just a bunch of different fighters, like from different weight classes, just to show it's MMA, like mixed martial arts.
Right. But I'm seeing like E Honda versus Dalum.
Exactly, like that. Yeah, like they'd come from across the, you know, different areas. They'd go to Japan. And, you know, Brock Lesnar, I think, was probably in it. Brock Lesnar's a humongous, like, Zangief. I don't know if.
Okay, yeah.
That. He looked like a real life Zangief with like a big like Thor knife coming through his chest, and he's just huge. I mean, you definitely know he got some like you know, extra pills to get bigger. So what's it called? It's just a bunch of that, just like mismatched weights.
Did you follow the Conor McGregor fight? Because I know that was kind of
the thing, that was a big
he's
thing.
Boxer and he went against MMA, right?
Yeah, Floyd Mayweather versus. Versus Conor McGregor. And, I mean, I think Conor McGregor did a good job, but, I mean, it was on Floyd Mayweather's, like, you know, like, on his area. So that guy's just amazing, even though he's, like, a lot of people say he's not that of a exciting boxer. But the thing is, he's, like, the best boxer because he knows how to protect himself. He's not out to kill anybody. He's just out to, like, you know, wear the guys out. Take him down.
And that's what I read about Conor. He just wore Conor out.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. I mean, Conor has a long, like, he can definitely, he has a lot of stamina, But at the end of the day, it's just kind of like, dude, you're in his world, not in UFC. I'm sure if Mayweather went into UFC, you'd get rocked. Yeah, dude. Yeah. And that's just money in the bank for Conor. So, but it's big reviews on mixed reviews for that stuff. So, I don't know. It just depends.
Are you following because of podcasts or do you follow it?
Podcasts. I definitely watch the fights and stuff like that. Those were just essentials. Like, and I think those were like just big things. Like, that's history for sure.
Yeah.
That's just something something that is going to, like, people are going to talk about later. Kind of like Holyfield or what's his name? Mike Tyson, stuff like that, dude.
I mean, I could tell you, I can update you the big thing in the gay world is Drag Race UK finale is tonight or today at noon. They're going to
put watched clips of it. Dude, those things are awesome. RuPaul, RuPaul's, like, her energy is really fun. Like, I don't know. I think, gay dudes are so, like, flamboyant ones. They're so funny. Like, I have, like, a gay cousin, and he's just super flamboyant. It's just funny, hanging out with them and how just extra they are about everything. Because then I've also known, like, some dudes that are just, like, guy dudes, but they're, like, gay, and they're chill, you know? Like, they can just be, like, your total best friend, and they're just like, yeah, dude, like, what's up, you know? But it's always fun to go with, like, the dude that's super party because they just, like, they're on just some other, like, they're at a, like, 12 when you're, like, at a 5. You're just trying to hang out. They're like, come on, boss.
And especially drag queens.
Oh,
like,
man.
Because they always say, like, they talk about a lot, like, how, like, they're very shy out of drag. But the second they put on that dress, the makeup, and, like,
it's
they're
a whole
just,
other
like,
thing.
And they could say things that they wouldn't say. They can touch people like they wouldn't normally. Because it's
really?
Like when you're in drag, you kind of, they're like a clown. They don't feel like a real person.
Some people are going to be like, that's all right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy. I didn't think about it like that. Yeah. I mean, that's good. I think it's way better. Like, I know back in the day, if, like, there was a bunch of dudes, like, if someone knew they're gay, they'd get punked. I had a couple of friends that are gay, but at that time, we didn't care. Like, the people that I hung out with, we really didn't care. We weren't, like, homophobic or anything, but, you know, it definitely was a smaller amount of groups of people, and, but it wasn't ever, like, a big thing where, like, you know, I knew there was guys that would get punked for that, but we just let them be. We didn't really have anything. I mean, they're not bothering us, and they're just expressing how they feel, you know? So,
yeah. I mean, there wasn't a lot of gay people growing up for me when I was a teenager in West Covina. There was one guy that my dad would go, that guy's light in the loafers, walk like a tuck, talk like a duck kind of thing.
No.
So, yeah.
I'd be so confused when if someone told me that kind of stuff. I'd be like, what does that even mean?
He's a little ACDC. Those are all the things they used to say.
He's a little ACDC?
Yeah.
Whoa, what does that even mean?
It's supposed to mean like he's like, well, ACDC means like it's supposed to mean like it fluctuates. Like knowing about electricity, that's not what that means.
No, not at all.
AC is one current, DC is another
current.
Yeah,
exactly. That's all. I was like, what?
I guess it's supposed to mean, and really I've heard like some people, like, back 50, in the day, bisexual maybe mean like it's kind of like flip both ways, but I'm not gonna be able to decode baby boomer homophobia. But yeah, like I didn't go to high school, junior high. I had home study, so I was totally cut off.
Oh,
from all
wow,
that.
Yeah.
But I'd always say like the biggest thing for me probably was like Will and Grace, and then Alan came out. So those were all there was RuPaul. So it's great to be connected to kind of that RuPaul era now. And she's like, you know,
she was definitely out there like, hey, like, this is me. And that's cool. Like, you know, to me, like, for a while, I thought like, what's his name? That from the Bulls, Chicago Bulls.
Michael Jordan?
Not Michael Jordan.
I was like, why would I know this?
No, Michael Jordan. No, what's his name? Rodman.
Oh, Dennis Rodman.
Rodman, because he would hang out with, like, all kinds of eccentric people, you know? And I thought that was cool. Like, dude, be weird. Be, like, you don't have to wear a suit and tie. Like, people like that kind of made me feel like it's okay to get, like,
he was heavily tattooed.
Yeah, heavily tattooed, just weird dude, just, like, always bringing that shock factor. I think growing up, watching people like him or, like, you know, people that weren't, like, with the with that like tuxedo, like you gotta wear this, you gotta look this certain way, you gotta be the football player. Like people like that, I never really like was into. Like that's why I got really into the punk scene, because punk skater kids and all that stuff, we were just kind of vibing, or we just did what we wanted to do, and you know, whatever, we just get that shock factor out of people.
Are you still seeing that kind of punk attitude in tattoo? I mean, it comes up a lot how that, you know, there's mm-hmm. a certain era of skate punk.
You know what's cool now? It's just like a lot of people that are in my age, like I had this, I was in my, when I was growing up, I didn't know about cable TV until like one of my friends, he was like the only white dude in the neighborhood. And he had cable, he had a cable box. And I was like, what's that? He's like, oh, you want to watch Nickelodeon? I'm like, what's Nickelodeon? And he showed me what Nickelodeon was, and I was like, what? Like, there's a whole nother channel that's cartoons all the time, and Legends of the Hidden Temple. And I was just like, what is this stuff? And so, like, watching all that, like, or watching Rocco's Modern Life was another big thing. I was a big, Joe Murray fan, because Rocco's Modern Life, man, that was just so, like, it was kind of like Ren and Stimpy. But I loved Rocko's Modern Life because of just how weird it was. Anything that's super weird, I was really into, because it was just like, it creeped normal people out. And I wasn't like I knew I wasn't a normal dude, but I knew like, I like weird stuff. Like that attracted me more than just, it's like, oh, you like this? Like I wouldn't go with the crowd, I'd go with like the opposite of things. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like in tattooing, a lot of people like my age that do like, designs and stuff, they kind of step, like they warp it up and switch it up. It's been regurgitated over and over in different times and eras, or there's always a niche of weird people that do like weird things. But like in the time of tattooing where I was at, it was always like traditional pieces, but like darker, like horror stuff and stuff like that. So it was pretty cool. Like, and I was just like, I was really into that because it was just certain colors and tones to it. And it's definitely not like, you know, definitely not getting that, like, I'm getting my last name on my back tattoo thing. Not that I'm dissing that, but I'm just saying, like, it was just something different for me.
No, I think anyone that's listening that would know, like, you know, you're around a lot of, like, Mexican-American, gang culture tattoos.
Yeah,
so that was what they did. Because that's what some of my, my half-uncles kind of had, like,
they had the thing on their stomach.
And especially my baby brother did the same. I was like, what?
Yeah, same thing. Like, I grew up around a bunch of gangsters and stuff like that, and it was either like, well, what are you going to do, man? Like, because they saw me around the neighborhood, but I skated, you know? I was hanging out with skater kids and stuff, so it's like, my friends were, like, really, really big gangsters, and they're like, oh, so what are you going to do, man? Are you going to wear baggy pants, or are you going to listen to rocker music, you know? Like, what are you gonna do? Like,
it's interesting because I had the same kind of thing where it was like, either you were listening to like that old R&B soul and you're into Low Riders and you're Dickies with
I love all that stuff. I grew up listening to that stuff,
and for me, like, that was like, I didn't want to get into that, but maybe because I was at the time a little bit closer to that, you know, if you wore blue or red, mm-hmm. you were going to be associated with the Bloods or Crips,
right?
And you know, if you're a brown person, mm-hmm. You could get shot, and it was at that time, like, there was
if you
just
had a shaved head and stuff like that, if you fit the bill, you're going to get hit up on, like, they'd run up on you on their cars, like, where are you from, full of stuff like that. Luckily, I look Asian, but they're all like, dude, what are you, Chino of the crew or something like that? Like, I just grew up, like, I was lighter skinned than all of them. I looked Chinese. I was always getting picked on, you know, and I was, like, the only one amongst, like, all the little Mexican kids. And then they found out I was, like, Peruvian and talk Spanish. They would just, like, call me, like, Chino Cochino and all that stuff, dude. They just, I was just getting it from always.
Does Chino offend you? Because in Spanish, it means Chinese.
Yeah, no, like, when I was younger, obviously, when you're younger, everything gets to you. But I think that's why growing up, it kind of, like, thickened me out to, like, really, like, take jokes. And, like, the kids that I grew up with, my best friends, the dudes that I still talk to since I was a young kid, we would just roast each other. It was just a big
roast.
That's what
I was bringing up to somebody, because there, you know, there's all the cultural appropriation things now.
Man.
And I'm like, at least in my family, like going back to like the gang names, you know, they would call you flaco, they would call you gordo, which is, you know, skinny,
fat. Yeah.
They would call you Casper because you're really white.
Yeah.
So it was kind of just, you know, smiley, all these things. Sometimes it was good, sometimes it was bad.
Right.
And it was just kind of like, I think it was meant to toughen you up. If I think about how my grandma.
Yeah, it's just
was,
a certain way to do it. Like, that's how it was. And I just remember, like, you know, like, you just had to have a tough skin about it, not let it show that it got to you. And you just got to take it for what it is. It's just
do you
take
think
it with
if,
a
it,
salt, yeah.
if you grew up right now, though, do you think you'd be like, hey, that's racism?
I think that's what happened, right? Like, everyone's just so nice and, like, they want to nerf everything. So they'd be like, oh, man, that's I don't know if I feel comfortable about this. Like, I was like, what are you talking about, man? And I just, like, some of the younger generation is like, dude, you guys grew up on, like, South Park. You guys know how, like, racist and, like, they just, they shoot it at everybody, man. Like, they don't care.
They did really good. Did you ever even keeping up with the show?
No, I haven't. Oh. But, dude, like, when that stuff came out, I thought it was hilarious. Like, I was like, dude, there's nothing racist about this. But everybody, like, there is a bunch of racist things that have been said, but
I think a lot of people have said that because it started at a time of being irreverent and making fun of PC culture, it's getting away with things now that if it started right now, it probably wouldn't.
Oh,
you know?
A lot of things, yeah. A lot, even like with like a bunch of like older movies when like they would just hit people, like they would just hit women, like, you know, like. Straight stuff that wouldn't like
to
go
the moon,
down.
Alice.
Yeah.
He's like,
yeah,
he's,
dude,
like
he's just
he's threatening her, threatening physical abuse to her, domestic abuse.
Yeah.
I know,
and like to us, it was just like, oh, you just laugh it off, or certain things, certain jokes that I see in older movies that I watch now that I like revisit and stuff. They're just like, oh wow, like that's actually pretty racist of the things
that
they're saying.
I was bringing up yesterday how I have the movie Jazz Singer and it's the first talkie, and I just can't bring myself to watch it because it's got blackface in it, and I was it's gonna make me considering everything that's maybe if Trump wasn't president and we didn't have so much extra racism right now, maybe I'd be like, okay, I'm gonna look past it, but it's just like, whoa,
yeah, Trump is. I just think he's. He's, what's it called? I think he's just one big troll, dude. Just the way he goes about everything, you know. But then again, I go with like the way comedians kind of go. Like everything is fair because you're a comedian. It's just fair game. I think if people saw it in that way, they wouldn't take him as serious. And then maybe a lot of the things that he says and stuff like that. He's also a dude from New York. So they're kind of more blunt and they're kind of more straightforward about things.
And rich and entitled.
Right.
And, like,
and all that
stuff.
Too. Like, you gotta, like, I mean, I think a lot of people that do, like, that say a lot of things about certain people, they also need to, like, feel culture. Like, they need to see what other places are like. Because I remember at one time, well, like I said, I was tattooing on the road while my friends were playing gigs and stuff. Like, they had never seen that. Like a fully tattooed Asian dude walk into the gas station. They're just like, what is that? You know, it was weird to them. And I'm from like California. I got to experience that. Even when I was living down in Orange County, like I'm like, obviously not white. I'm like Asian looking, but I was Hispanic. So I remember going to a tattoo shop in like the early 2000s. And this dude straight up just pulled up his shirt, had a huge swastika sign, just be like, hey man, you're not welcome here.
It's funny because we just talked about that yesterday with how there were so much Nazis down there.
Dude, it wasn't. They actually had that one time, like at that point, they had Nazi crews that would, go around looking for people with no documents.
Oh,
and they would
go
and beat them up. Yeah, man.
There's always been a theory that, like, those type of people did join the police force, did join these different things, and that's why we have this kind of...
us against them mentality for the cops and stuff like that? Or they have, like, some kind of, like, hatred towards some people? Yeah, I mean, we've seen it. I remember I used to, like, my girlfriend at that time, when I was living down in Orange County, like, she was studying... she was studying she went to UCI, so she was a smarter chick, And I would just sit in their classes and how they would talk about how the police have this us against them mentality about things. And like I said, whatever you were taught in the academy, forget about it, because in the streets is way different. Like, this is how it is, you know? They try to, like, shake them out of that mentality and bring them into a new mentality, which is like a gang mentality. And it wasn't like, you know, like, I mean, back in the early days, like, cops would do their own beat, and they would know everybody. They would know your parents and all that stuff. Cops wouldn't really need to pull out a gun or anything like that.
Yeah, when I was growing up, it was like cops were kind of like a soldier that would put their lives on the line to protect somebody. Like, that's what that serve and protect was about.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely around that era that going back even to the LA riots and Rodney King, yeah, being bitten, that was definitely a turning point where it was like, whoa, this thing is happening.
So, yeah, man.
Well, let's try to maybe get back into tattoo for a bit. Not trying to shy away from controversy, but we're kind of wrapping up. Are there any, do you have a dream tattoo you want to work on someday?
Dream tattoo? I don't have a dream tattoo. I would like to have like a, maybe like, I think a happy day of me would be like a good happy day would be like someone coming in for a traditional rose, and then someone coming in for like a girl head, like a traditional, anything that's usually traditional. Like, I love doing this because it's like straightforward. You have a design, you know, you could do whatever, like a rose, a skull, and like maybe like a girl head, switch it up, do something, you know, black and gray or color, or even traditional Japanese, anything like that. Just three little, like, you know, hand-sized tattoos a day would keep me like the happiest, you know. And that's just, you know, that, and maybe going out for a little skate sesh and then grabbing a burger later. I don't know, hanging out with my daughters later on at night. That'd be the dream right there. But
that's your dream. Yeah. You do that till you die?
I can see that every, yeah, I can see that I can do that till the end, you know. I'm done with that. Sure. That's my thing.
Do you want to shout out to anybody back at the shop?
Oh, dude, all the guys I work with are amazing artists. Anthony, George. Well, we have two Georges there.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because when I had George here, he was like, George, I go by Maze.
Yeah, Maze. You know, he's an amazing tattooer. Zeke, another traditional tattooer. He's always, man, that guy, he's very knowledgeable about tattoo. He has a lot of knowledge about, you know, the old timers, we say, in tattooing, because, you know, we got these guys, Philadelphia Eddie, all these dudes, Tennessee Dave, like all these guys that kind of paved the way for tattooers that a lot of new age tattooers really don't know much about. And they kind of set the mood and they set everything for us. Now that everything's out in the open, you know, you can just Google search whatever you want to get, you know? And they're the reason, because we have all that at our hands now, you know? And those guys, we owe a lot to them. And in tattooing, you know, you get as much as what you put in. And if you love your craft, that's what counts, man. Because there's nothing better than having a job that you could just, like, you know, every day doesn't even feel like work. So that's how I feel now, you know. That's why I said I went full circle. I did every kind of style of tattooing. And what works best for me is just doing whatever comes into the shop, even if it's not traditional, even if it's like a small little infinity symbol. Dude, I'm just making someone happy, and that's what I like. I like to see someone smile, enjoy what I enjoy doing, you know, sitting there talking the story, whatever it is. It's pretty fun.
Cool. Is there any promotions? I know you guys are selling T-shirts and
merch. Yeah, we always got new. This is one of the newest shirts we got out.
Well, we'll get a picture of it in a bit.
Yeah, it's a tiger. And what's it called? I guess Rance, recently he went to Mexico and he hired a dude to do this design.
Oh, okay.
I also have a design of mine that's coming up pretty soon for my birthday.
Oh, so, happy birthday.
Thank you. It was already from October, so it's kind of late. Okay. Late design that it got turned in late, but it got done. But yeah, man, it was we try to push our shop as much as possible.
Yeah.
And we all just try to have a good time.
Great
together.
Family there every time.
Yeah, we're always there. throwing jokes, roasting each other.
Well, Hector, thanks again for coming by the studio today.
Yeah, man, thank you very much.
Remind us where we can find you on Instagram.
Oh, my Instagram handle is heavy_shades. And, you know, you guys can always feel free to DM me. And I also have my number up.
If you guys DMs are open.
Yeah, DMs are always open. Eh. A dipstick, not some. Yeah.
Also, you can find the shop at Needle Pushers, and we'll have everything on kpcradio.com. Again, he's Hector Santos from Needle Pushers. Thanks again for coming by the studio.
Hey, man, thank you for having me. I appreciate you.
All right. I want to thank you all for listening. I'm Anthony Sanchez.